This is episode 007 with Michelle Breeler.
See who you truly are. Like, do you give up or do you just keep going forward and dig deep and look for these other opportunities that will be there? You know, I've always been one to look at the positive side of things. You know, we all can have those down days, but you know, this obstacle, this was an opportunity for me. It opened up a door, but you know, you're going to have that roller coaster ride. Mm-hmm. But I think you just always got to believe and be true to who you are. You know, right. Obstacles are definitely, you know, no matter what you do, I think you can really see the type of person that you are when you're faced with trying to push forward.
Welcome to the Behind the Fitness podcast, where we interview the world's most motivating and successful fitness trainers, instructors, and coaches to inspire people to be their very best every day. Thanks for joining me today. I'm your host, Ted James. Let's get going. Our guest today has been helping people build strong, balanced bodies for over 20 years now. She's a certified trainer with workouts ranging from plyo to HIIT and more. But most importantly, she's a wife and mother of two boys with their adorable little adopted dog, Sparky. I want to welcome Michelle Breeler. Today, we're going to get to know Michelle and learn how to dig deep and look at obstacles as opportunities. But before we jump into that, Michelle, tell us something that you believe can make you successful in health or fitness that many people might disagree with.
Ooh, this is a good question. I really had to think about it, but the first thing that came to my mind is I listened to my kids. So when things were going crazy during the quarantine and pandemic, you know, my kids gave me some honest opinions about being on YouTube. And then the other thing that I would say that really helped me is free content. I was giving away stuff constantly, even through the 20 years of doing what I do. If somebody couldn't afford a program that I was offering, I'd either give them a discount or I would just say, you know what? I really want you to benefit from this. So come on in and join the program with us.
Okay. Just build the community and give people things they need during, you know, a hard time in life.
Oh, that- yeah. But just giving them that opportunity, because I know how important it is to live a healthy lifestyle. And I didn't want somebody because of their financial issues to not have the opportunity.
Right. That makes sense. Especially during the pandemic where it's so easy to slip into watching 3 hours of Netflix or something like that.
And during during the pandemic and the quarantine, people couldn't go to the gym and they couldn't go to their group fitness classes. And to me, that was something that I wanted to provide. I mean, I was lucky that I was already putting a little bit on YouTube before this all happened. But then when that was taken away, not from them, but even me, because I love being there. I love being in front and I love, you know, creating a positive atmosphere. And right. It was taken away from me too. So I wanted to bring it back.
That's true. It's, yeah, that makes sense. How old are your boys?
So my boys are 12 and 15.
Okay. Okay. I'm a little bit behind you. I have my daughter's 1 year old and my son's 4. So,
well, I don't know if your kids at that age, if they watch YouTube, but my kids, they watch a lot of YouTube. And so yes. When I started putting the free content out on YouTube, my son was telling me like little tips, you know, like what I should do about going live. And then he said, you should do some merch, mom, you know, you should put some merchandise out there.
Oh, okay.
So that was really helpful. It was just a small stepping stone, but just listening to my kids, and because I knew that they were spending many hours on YouTube and what they right. saw. Yeah.
Okay. That's pretty helpful. Okay. Well, can you give us a little bit more background on yourself and then tell us what drove you to find your love for fitness? So what is your story? What is your why? And what's your story behind why you do what you do?
Oh, well, what do you want to know first? Do you want to know like where I came from?
Yeah, I want to know really, I mean, now your life is completely helping people with fitness. But at a certain point, where did you start with that? Where did you start with your own fitness journey? And then how did that change into helping other people?
So my own fitness journey was always, as a kid growing up on a farm, we were always active, you know, outside all the time. We had horses, cows, chickens, pigs, you know, you name it. And my parents, you know, always made us go outside. It wasn't even like they had to make us go outside. That's just where we always were. And I was very tomboy. I was always out in the woods. You know, we made mud pies and all that fun kid stuff, you know, being outside and just being active all the time. And then I played sports, you know, I played basketball and volleyball and I was pretty competitive. And I did switch schools when I was in high school because of my basketball coach. And he was that type of coach where they were in your face. And when he would yell at you, you could feel the spit on your face and always about, you know, wanting you to do more. And it was too much pressure on me at the time. And I remember saying to my parents, I'm like, I don't want to be on this team anymore. And I grew up in a small town. There was like, if you went out for the team, you were on the team. So there was only what, 8 people on the team. And so I actually left my high school, and that was super rare growing up in the middle of nowhere. And so my parents, they took it to heart and they relocated, not that they relocated, we rented an apartment in a town nearby so that they could establish residency and that I could go to school there and play basketball on a different team.
Oh, okay.
So that was a huge like strike. So the friends that I had, you know, that I spent, you know, a big chunk of my life with, all those friendships pretty much got severed. So it was like a whole new restart. But my parents, they wanted me to be happy. And that just tells you the sacrifices that your parents will do for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I continued to play sports, but I didn't go into sports in college. And then I had a calling for massage therapy.
Okay.
I was having back issues at the time, and I was going to see this guy. It was 100 miles away. And it was the only thing that was helping my back. Oh, and then the time when I was trying to decide about college, and I went to college for a little bit, didn't like it. And then I went to massage school, and that was like the, aha, like this is where I need to be. And I loved it. So I went into massage therapy for like 9 years. And while in massage, you know, dabbled into fitness, and being exposed to fitness classes and joining them and trainers and things like that. But I didn't really get into it until, I'm trying to think of when it was. Oh, I remember I was taking a kickboxing class.
Oh.
And when I was in the class, I thought to myself, oh my God, I think I could do a better job than her. I think I could bring more to the plate than she could. I'm like, this doesn't look like it's too hard. I'm like, if she can do it, I can do it. And then that's the time, that's when I went to them and I said, I'm interested in teaching classes. And then they trained me. So that was my first start for teaching group fitness classes.
Okay. That was your calling, huh?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. It's crazy how sometimes you just get little tidbits of a taste of something and you're like, wow, I think this is where I need to go in my journey. But
and the energy that's in a group fitness class, that was just, I love that energy versus being being a massage therapist, you're a one-on-one and the energy was different. Like I could feel energy from people that way too, but it was a whole different way of helping people. Like I was helping people with massage, but this was a different way of doing it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You're active and moving as a group and just the community of it. It makes it easier and more challenging. And that's great that you felt that, like to have that calling to move forward with that. A lot of people might not have actually moved forward and said, I think I want to take charge of these classes and can actually be a leader in these classes. So that takes a certain kind of person, I think, for sure.
Or just to get up in front of people like that and have that kind of confidence. And I was usually the girl, like if we went out someplace, I was the quiet girl. So everybody was kind of surprised that, you know, that was what I wanted to do, be in front.
Oh, all right. Yeah, usually you think of somebody really outgoing who's kind of the louder person that would jump in front of a class like that, but you just felt a calling, I guess, right?
Yeah, I think to me it was like I could do better than her. And I could bring something more. I think I always thought that I'm going to bring something more to it than just that.
Do you think it was a little bit of your competitive side? Maybe even going back to your, obviously you were very competitive in basketball. You changed schools to pursue basketball in high school. Do you think that competitive side of you kind of pushed you into a leadership? Oh, yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
And there's the part of me that likes to have, like, strives to be the best. I always strive to be the best.
Nice. All right. Well, I think that kind of rolls into our next question. So after you got really involved with those group fitness classes, then the pandemic hit. So let's talk now about your fitness instructor journey over the past couple of years and how your mindset of changing obstacles into opportunities led to success, and how using that mindset and looking at obstacles as opportunities can make a difference in our lives, in our listeners' lives.
So the obstacle that we had, my husband and I, we at the time owned a large gym, and I was teaching almost daily, and everything was just taken away. So we were shut down, and we never knew when we were going to open up. So it would, you know, week by week would go by. They kept saying in the state of New Jersey, they're like, no, you can't open up yet. So we were like, well, what do we do? You know? And for me, I was like, well, I need to do something now. Like, I can't sit around here and wait. And I love being a mom and I love taking care of my kids. But for me, I need something else to like fill, you know, just to fill my cup. And group fitness and training has always been something that's really helped to fill my cup. And it gives me, it's kind of like my calling. So for me, I started putting out YouTube and I kind of found my niche right away. I knew that I was getting a lot of hits on Payo, which is a format, great music, which, you know, music is very connecting for me. I love music. So it connects with people and you move to the beat of the music, which is, you know, there's something about that. And Absolutely. That's kind of the OG of group fitness, is that group fitness was designed for musicality and everybody moving together as a unit. That's kind of brings that bond together.
Right.
So I started putting it out and then I was being consistent and man, it was messy, you know, and I looked at those obstacles as challenges to make myself better, you know? So I remember I was doing a workout here and it was live and the dog starts barking. Or the music stops, or the, you know, I just think even recently when we were doing a live for a celebration, my camera overheated and everything shut down.
No.
You know, so I always look at these obstacles as opportunities for me to really grow. And it was like a challenge for me is that, okay, now I see my numbers going up and I get comments and I love hearing from people about how I'm helping them and making them stronger, you know, helping them to stay in shape. And give them good energy. So all that stuff was really, you know, pumping me up too, to keep creating and bringing out the content. But sure. I also wanted to make money. So then I started thinking there's gotta be a way, you know, obviously asking my 12-year-old, he was helpful in giving me feedback on how to improve. But then I started reading more, listening to podcasts, trying to figure out how to make this more of a business and to start making money off of it. Cause we did not know what was going to go on with our health club.
Right.
So we were shut down for 6 months, but we were doing some outdoor classes to keep people still connected. But even when we did open up our doors, a huge percentage of our members did not come back.
Oh man, that's hard.
And so my husband had the opportunity that there was somebody looking at the property and he just, you know, he was in business for over 25 years. And for him to make the decision, that was a hard decision that what are we going to be, millions of dollars in debt? Or do we shut the doors down now and sell all the contents and sell the building? You know, so that's what we did. We ended up closing.
Oh, wow.
You know,
okay.
Which was a big loss for the community, huge loss, because we had over 4,000 members.
Right.
So, but then again, looking at it as an opportunity for me, this is an opportunity for me to do something bigger, you know, not just YouTube, but, you know, in other avenues. And even for my husband, it was a great way, because I know that the stress of having this health club, you know, it had gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And always when you get bigger, you have more stress.
Yeah. Right. Right.
So for him, it was an opportunity to relieve some of that stress and to focus maybe his energy in a different direction.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, maybe it was a sign to that it was time to move on to the next chapter of your life. And obviously you have, and you use those opportunities and move forward with something. And there's so many other gyms that had to close down as well, which is extremely sad, but it sounds like you just didn't really have a choice, but you did have other choices and you did make them and you were able to move forward with that. So that's awesome. Yeah. How would you think? Go ahead.
Well, and I know in our community and anytime I'm around the area where I live, there's everybody, oh my God, I just can't believe you guys had to shut down. It was such a loss. You know, so many tears were shed. And even when we closed, there was a drive-by celebration of people that came and drove by and honked their horn and wait, you know, because people couldn't, you know, some people didn't want to be coming inside, but it was like, it was a sad, sad day in the community.
That is sad. Well, hopefully those people found other avenues, and hopefully a lot of them are actually following you online now and still able to do those same kind of workouts and keep in shape. But yeah, I can see how that can definitely be a loss for a community physically being together, but it's great that you were able to still help them out. Probably a large number of them online with your classes. I've done your class, so I you're great. Can you help translate it that to maybe how looking at opportunities, looking at obstacles as opportunities can maybe help out just in life in general for our listeners, just in day-to-day life, I guess, just overall?
I think it is a way to see who you truly are. Like, do you give up or do you just keep going forward and dig deep and look for these other opportunities that will be there? You know, I've always been one to look at the positive side of things. You know, we all can have those down days, but you know, this obstacle, this was an opportunity for me. It opened up a door, but you know, you're going to have that roller coaster ride. Mm-hmm. But I think you just always got to believe and be true to who you are. You know, right. Obstacles are definitely, you know, no matter what you do, I think you can really see the type of person that you are when you're faced with trying to push forward.
That makes sense. Yeah, it's easy to fake it when everything's easy and going your way, but when challenges start coming up, then your real personality, I think, pops out. So
and then you got to think about, for me, it's my kids. You know, they're my driving force. Is I want to provide for them and give them opportunities. So I'm going to do everything that I can to make make this opportunity worthwhile. And if I don't know something, I'm going to find out.
Right. Well, I think that moves us forward to our next question. Can you tell us a moment in your life where you were at your lowest, and how did you overcome that? And what did you learn from being in that place? And maybe that place was when you guys had to close, but go ahead.
Oh no, there's a deeper place.
All right.
Cause I was thinking about this a little earlier and it was my deepest place. So being somebody in this industry, there's a lot of people like me where this can be show, you know, but for me, it was, this makes me a little nervous too, because some people know about it, some people don't, but I had an eating disorder. And when my husband found out, at the time we weren't married, that was the deepest point. It was like everything taken away. You know, it was, you know, pre-kids, pre-everything, but it was almost like, I mean, I still get that gut feeling of just like, oh my God, he knows, now what? But almost like a relief, like it's out, but still authentic. Like, but still you're just like, oh my God, yeah, I didn't know what was going to happen. I mean, he kicked me out of the house. It was like having a drug addiction to him. And he was just curious. He just saw that I was not being who I typically was. And I was on this roller coaster of this eating disorder. And it had been going on in my life for about 15 years. So, and this was about 20 years ago when he found out about this. So it was something that I was dealing with as a child.
Okay.
And growing up in the 80s, it was very I grew up in North Dakota in the middle of nowhere on a farm. Mm-hmm. So this was something that was not known about. My parents did not know how to handle it. They actually did. They took me to see somebody, but when you're in something that's an addiction, you totally cover it up. I was like the liar. I said everything was okay. You know, I moved through life. And I think even being in this industry, you know, becoming a fitness instructor,
yeah,
is a great way to cover up, because then you're like, I teach two classes a day and, you know, I can work out 3 hours and everybody's like, yay, you. But it's not. I'm not the only one. I know of many instructors or many people in this industry that have done or been through what I've been through.
Sure.
So when everything was taken away, you know, I got kicked out. I didn't know, not know where to go, but my family was there for me. They've always been there for me, but it was really a wake up call of that. I need to be serious about this. I need to get the right treatment. And I had been in and out of different treatments. And then this time I was like, this person is important in my life. I need to do this, not just for them, but also for me too.
Right, right.
And this just needs to be taken care of. So it was a long process, but just finding the right treatment for me was the hard part. But I can say now, I really have found who I am. I think at the time there was a lot of covering up, but now I know, you know, and I think that's the hardest part too, is that once you're going through treatment that you don't know who you are.
Okay.
You know, you're not really sure who you are. You got to try to find yourself again. And then, I don't know, each day I got better and just over time. And so now it's been 20 years since I've used my eating disorder. And it's something I don't even think about. Only issue that I would say, if anybody's listening to this and they're dealing with an eating disorder or they know somebody, is the effects after. I was bulimic. So for me, it's my teeth now. And that when I go to the dentist, I'm usually in tears because it just brings back so much emotion. And it's something that, you know, I have to deal with, but I don't deal with it every day like I used to.
Okay.
And so for me, it gave me power. Now I have power. Like, I thank it. Like, I wouldn't be the person that I am.
Right.
I would not have gone through that.
Absolutely.
I'm a better person. I'm a stronger person.
Yeah. More authentic. I mean, vulnerability is hard, but I mean, that's how you get to your true self. You need to be vulnerable. Can I ask how, after you got kicked out, how did you get back together, and how did you mend your relationship with your husband after you started treating yourself for this sickness?
Being honest. That was the main thing. Being honest. And you know, he had a crazy he wanted to know, like, how did I do this? So he was like, I want to see how you do this. And I was like, that is crazy. You know, but I had to honor him, and it was embarrassing, and it was probably one of the worst things I think I ever went through. And I think that was helpful for him.
Right.
You know, when somebody has never had an addiction or never dealt with an addiction before, I think it's hard for them to know how that person can't just stop it. I remember my dad saying, just stop throwing up. And I think my grandpa said, just eat, you know, like there was that, like, this is the way you deal with it.
Yeah. I'm sure they're trying to help, but they didn't understand. And at the time, I'm sure you probably didn't understand how to get better either. Otherwise you probably would have, right?
I would have, for sure. And no, I never wish that on anybody to have any type of an addiction.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing that you were able to move past that and then get back to your husband and heal that relationship and just move forward. And I mean, I'm sure that feeds into everything you are now as a fitness leader and helping people be healthy, because then you can be authentic and people tell. People can definitely tell. And if you're out there,
I think it's really made me be such a really honest person. Almost too honest, I think, at times, but I'm, you know, I feel like I get that gut feeling when I'm not honest, and I always feel like I just need to let it out.
Yeah. That, I mean, I think that's powerful. And I mean, just to be able to be authentic is, I mean, yeah, you can't put a price on it. It's more valuable than anything, I would think. All right. Well, let's move on to the next question. What is a quote that you live by and how do you apply it in your day-to-day life?
Oh, I've always been Gandhi. Be the change you want to see. That has been my quote for a long time. You know, I always believe that I'm just going to be the change that I want to see. I'm going to live that life.
That makes sense.
And I apply it by being, like you said, being authentic, being true to who I am, and in trying to inspire people to live that same type of life.
Yeah. How would you think in your day-to-day life, like, what are some examples that, I mean, I can tell, I watch your videos, and I mean, you're clearly very in shape. So I think from a visual standpoint, I can be like, I want to be more in shape. That's one. But what would you say that your day-to-day life looks like from that quote?
Well, for me, it's to be the change that you want to see. It's really even showing my kids too, that this is the way that we should live our life. You know, I'm kind to everybody. I compliment people with the littlest things, because not only does it make them feel good, it makes me feel good. And I remember my kid would leave the car in the morning in elementary school. And I would say one nice thing to somebody. That's all you got to do today. Just be the change, be kind. Now it seems like, you know, people just demand kindness, or there's a different, you can't find people genuinely kind.
Mm-hmm.
But I always say, just be the change, be kind to people. And what goes around comes around.
Right. Karma. And I think just saying one nice thing to one person could change their entire day. And I mean, a day can roll into multiple days from just that one good day. So,
yeah. Yes. No, I've got to tell us a quick story here.
Yeah.
So we have a new mail lady that started coming around a few months ago, and she is like the best mail lady. So she gives the dog a little treat whenever he's outside.
No.
Or if we're walking around town and she sees him, she'll drive up and she'll give him a treat. Well, when she comes to the door, it's a whole different story. My dog Sparky is like the meanest looking dog ever. Like, she goes, he looks like he's going to attack me through the window. So one day we were just sitting outside, and I think I was on a trampoline just doing some choreography, and he was with me, and she walked down the whole way of my driveway. Not that it's really long, but just to give him a treat, because he was out there with me. I was like, that was so nice. So I just made sure, I was like, that is so nice of you to do that. So I feel like I need to buy her a box of dog treats to support her kindness to the dog.
Right. Yes.
Even when he sees the mail truck or he hears it, he freaks out. He's like, oh my God, there she is.
And I'm sure now, just seeing her each day, especially when she brings a dog treat to you, it's that little nice thing that somebody did. And I mean, that can change your whole day around. You could be in a bad attitude, and all of a sudden here comes the super sweet mail lady.
Oh,
and now you're in a better mood.
And she's got the best smile. I always say that to her, like, you got the greatest smile. And she has a nice laugh. And I'm like, oh, and like you said, it does. It changes my whole, like, oh, I'm so happy now.
Yeah. That's awesome. All right. Well, how do you continue to learn in order to stay on top of things in your role? And can you give us some particular examples?
Podcasts. I love health and nutrition. You know, So I'm listening to podcasts, reading, you know, right now I'm reading a book about women's hormonal health, because I'm at, not that I'm there yet, but I know my age group of ladies that are listening to me and I want to give them sound advice.
Okay.
And right now I am actually in the process of being a certified health and life coach. So that has been helping me to fine tune my tools for working with, you know, I love to work with women for weight loss or just with transformation. So it's giving me more tools to help these women just feel more empowered, or if they're overwhelmed, what can they do to their lives to take back control? I love that. Like, I love just, so it's giving me great tools. Like, I know a lot, sure, but you can never know enough. And, you know, I don't know everything. So I'm always like, I'm a sponge, and I take my continued education credits that are keeping my certification. So I try to make sure I'm taking it from high level people.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. And that's great. So is that something you're moving into the future? Health and life coach?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've, all right. I've that's learned next over. Chapter. Yeah. So with 20 years of experience being in this industry and a lot of, you know, a lot working out, you learn over time that there's so much your body can do. And then there's a part where you got to give out, like, you got to like, oh, you got to get back to that body. The body really needs to have recovery. And if you're stressed out all the time, your body cannot recover in stress situations. And so many people are so stressed out. Even when they say they're doing a recovery workout, they're still stressed out. And so the recovery workouts are not going to be as efficient and effective. I'm all about that. I'm all about efficiency. If you've, you know, you've done one of my workouts, but if you got 30 minutes, man, I'm going to make you work hard. But then you know what? You need to make sure you're balancing it out. And I've learned through the years that you got to do that, or you're going to, I always think about the future. Like, when I'm 75 and 80, what do I want to be able to do?
Right. Exactly.
Do I want to be stuck in my chair, or do I want to be active and feel like I have mobility and I have freedom? Yeah. So for me, I need to teach less and I need to work with people more on a deeper level. There's only so much. And I always say this, there's no magic in the workout. There's no magic. It's what you bring. It's the intensity. It's what you want out of it that you can get. That's where the magic happens. And then it also happens after. Like, what else are you doing? Those other components are super important, you know, and I've learned through the years that sleep, stress, nutrition, they all come here. Working out is a little lower. So those things are on the top, and those things, you know, working out, I mean, is great. Mm-hmm. And it should be like brushing your teeth. It should be a habit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, working out half an hour a day is amazing. And I mean, I can tell when, if I get out of my routine and I don't do that for, you know, a number of days for whatever reason, I can definitely tell a change in my entire self, whether it's mentally, you know, mind, body, soul, all connected. So it's just part of your day, but that hour is important, but there's another 23 hours of the day. So it's not just that hour. I mean,
yeah,
just like you said, there's so many other more important. I mean, I do think the workout is very important, and it's very important to me and my routine and everything, but it's also everything else. And I mean, everything else helps the workout helps everything else out for me. So it's also what you're doing in those other 23 hours of the day.
Yeah.
It's important.
Can I share one more story with you?
Yes, please.
So I would say, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago, I remember I was on the treadmill and I was next to this lady, and I knew she was seeing a trainer. This is going to talk about, you know, mindset about what people always think about what they should do. And she was telling me, I knew that she wanted to lose weight, and she was telling me her regimen that he was telling her to do. He had her working out two times a week or two times a day, consuming 1200 calories. And she looked at me and she goes, "Michelle, I do not feel good." She's like, I'm losing my hair. And I remember, you know, like how you get these gut feelings. I was just like, whoa, this does not sound good. You know, this is before I really got educated in nutrition and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that was one of those like light bulb times where you went, oh my God, there's got to be more to this. How come? And he was, his credentials were way higher than mine. Like he was almost going to become a doctor, but he became a registered he was a registered dietitian and a personal trainer. And I thought to myself, what in the heck? Why is he telling her to do this? She's so stressed out. Yeah. She was stressed out because she had to get 2 workouts in. She had kids. She had to be a mom. She had to, you know, I was like, in 1200 calories? And I thought to myself, I got to find out what is going on with her. Like, I felt like it was like me that I needed to. And because I said to her, and I said, I remember looking at her and I said, I think you're doing too much.
Yeah, right.
I said, there could be some kind of relation with too much, you know, and this was all just me like thinking, I was just thinking, I'm like, that might just be too much for your body to handle. I said, I think you're losing your hair because you're stressed out and your body is not getting the nutrients that it needs. And that was to me, that light bulb of like, I need to find out because this is not right. Mm-hmm. And not only her, but so many people do that.
Sure. Right.
If so many people go, oh, great, I'm going to work out more. I'm going to eat less. And, and we are so much smarter now. There's so much more science that says, hey, you can't do this. This is too stressful on your body. And that stress of all that you're doing, your body's going to hang on to all that weight. It's going to hang on to all that stuff. And you're not going to be able to drop the weight. And we're going to make things worse for you. We're going to put more weight on.
Right. Yeah. I mean, your hormones in your body, it, especially there's so many people that snap to that. They think that that's the answer. They go from 0 to 100 and their bodies are just under stress after they're not. I mean, if that's something that you're used to and you've been doing for a very long time is, you know, a couple workouts a day, you're used to it. Your body's not going to be as stressed. And, but if you're somebody who's not used to that and you're trying to get into that two workouts a day, which is a lot for anybody, then yeah, like you said, it's just too much stress. And
yeah,
I'm sure there's tons of people like that lady, I'm sure, that are out there.
Yeah.
The same thing.
So that's where I always feel like I need to be. And I remember that when I started teaching, not that when I started, but when I started becoming more educated on nutrition, I would bring that to the classroom and I would talk about like just share little bits of information to people as I was teaching, because that was the only way that I could. Mm-hmm. And then I remember my group X director was like, Michelle, you're not supposed to be doing that. You know, this was before it was okay to do it. Oh. And I said, well, I'm not telling them what to eat. I just said, I'm just giving them information that I know is sound information. And she's like, well, that's not what you're supposed to be doing. You're just going to teach the class. And I kept thinking to myself, there's more to this. I got to help these people.
Right. Yeah. And I now look at you, you're able to help all kinds of people now.
Oh, so many, I love it.
Everywhere.
Oh, it's, I love awesome. It.
Oh, too cool. All right. Well, next question is, if you were able to pick only one short message sent completely anonymous to every person in the world, and they would really listen and take that to heart, what would that one message be?
You have one house, your body, that you can live in. It depends on how you want to treat it, and it'll keep you there for as long as you treat it well. I think that's the biggest thing that I would like to leave, is that this is my home. And if I'm going to treat it well, it'll last me a long time.
That makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm. And you got to love your home. Love your home.
You only get one.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, can you share with us how we can connect with you and how we can check out one of your online classes? And then we're going to say goodbye.
I am on YouTube. You can find me there, Michelle Breeler. That is where I have a variety of workouts. I also do live workouts twice a week at On Podio, Michelle Breeler. And where else? Hey, find me on Instagram. I do share a lot of stories about what goes on in my life. You get to see my driveway crew. I get, you know, I got my ladies that come out here and work out with me on the driveway.
Fantastic. After the show, head over to behindthefitness.com. You'll find links to videos for each episode. Be able to leave a comment, links to connect with Michelle, and more. And of course, be sure to check out Michelle's free classes on YouTube and her giant library of on-demand and live workouts. Michelle, thank you so much for spending time with us and letting us get to know you better. It was truly powerful.
Oh, thank you.